Well, good morning. This particular gospel is one of the more well-known gospels. It shows up in literature, in movies, in song, different stories of the prodigal son, of the one who's lost and who's returned, and maybe even in our own families, we know of a lost sibling or a lost cousin, or maybe we know this story better than we'd like. But it's a powerful story of grace and redemption. And it's a story that takes a twist and turn that we might not expect. It echoes the story of Cain and Abel, a story that ends differently, but then it points us to a new and deeper truth about our understanding of God, of forgiveness, of grace, and of reconciliation. To be reconciled with our neighbor, to be reconciled with God, is one of the things at the heart of the gospel. But we don't teach this in our society. We don't live it at all. Has anybody watched anything about politics recently? I sometimes wonder how anyone is willing to run for office. Because every possible flaw, every possible mistake, every possible sin, every possible thing is repeated over and over again. And if you just simply listen, everybody running is the worst person in the world. We have this new thing called the internet, which is one of the most unforgiving things in the world. Anything you say or do on the internet is there forever. Now, don't worry, this isn't some grand confession. But I remember way back in 2000, something like that, I got on an interchange on, there's a website called BeliefNet, and they used to have community forums. And you could go in and you could have conversations with people, and I got in a little argument with a colleague. And I didn't really say anything too awful, but I wasn't particularly nice. I sort of got into a conversation, I don't remember what we were talking about, but we were talking about lots of different things, and I sort of laid it out there, and we were arguing a little about the service, and what you can read, what you can't, and what you can do, and I mean, it was a pretty heated exchange, and some others got into it. I didn't think much about it, sort of forgot about it, and then, you know, not too long, maybe about 10 years after that, somebody came in one time, and they were kind of upset with me about something, not anything in particular, but they're just upset. They had found this conversation that I'd had 10 years before, and they came in, and they said, "Why would you say something like this?" And I had no idea what they were talking about. Why would you say this to someone? Because I maybe had a similar argument with them. And how could you say this? And they hand it to me. I'm like, "Where did you get this?" So, well, it's on the internet. Wow. Now, all of you are going to go look for this. I don't think you can find it now. I think it's gone. But I just use that as an example of how unforgiving the internet can be, how unforgiving our society can be. How we look for the flaw, or if you go anywhere and do anything, there's a background check for almost anything now. There's a check for everything, and sometimes with really good purposes, and we need to do that, but we lose that sense of forgiveness or redemption or reconciliation, even in our personal relationships. Have any of you ever lost a friendship over a seemingly small mistake or a small sin? What's Jesus getting at? Why are we hearing this? In the Old Testament that we have for today, we have this little piece of scripture about the release of the scourge of Egypt. In other words, the people are released from their bondage, released from the slavery, released from that which encapsulated their people and denied them so much. And it says, and they were able to eat of the fruit of Cana, the feast, and the manna dried up. We have that then with this prodigal son story about reconciliation, about grace, about return. I don't think we like to talk about sin. In fact, I think we're afraid of talking about sin. Sin is that which takes us away from God, which takes us away from our neighbor, which takes us away from ourselves. Now, with sin, I'm not talking about if you say, I'm not going to eat candy, and you eat a piece of candy. That's not quite the level I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real marrow, the real difficulty that we have with the sins that are in our lives. A number of years ago, a person came to me after a service, not at this church, and I have permission from this person to share the story. They came to me after a service, and they were just really upset. We sat down in my office, and this person began to cry. And they cried and bewailed for about half an hour, maybe more, uttering a little bit here and there. And finally, when they got calm enough, we began to dive into the story. This is a person who is well-respected, who had a position in society that most of us look up to, a person who had saved lives in many ways, who had worked hard, who sort of had it all. And yet at the heart of the matter, there was something that had happened, a sin, a challenge, and they could not get past it. Their whole life was driven by that thing that had happened. You don't get to know what it is. But that was what was at the center of their life. All the work that that person did, all the things that happened, they were trying to overcome that. And yet, they so wanted the love of God. They so wanted the fatted calf to be broken. They so wanted that reconciliation. They so wanted that restoration of relationship. And it seemed unattainable. I kind of like to know chapter 2 of the story we have in the gospel, or the prodigal son part 2, you know, the sequel. Can you imagine the plot lines? Father changes mind, you know, kicks son out. Eldest son takes it all and runs away. Youngest son comes back. He's a liar. You know, what's going to happen? We don't know the rest of the story. And I think that that's part of the challenge for us, and sometimes we have to imagine, because here's the deal, is that sin is not something that always exits our life. That sense of reconciliation, that restoration, all that we have in that is there consistently. Because we fail again, and we fail again, and we sin again. The church sets aside this season of Lent, with special purpose and special focus on these things. For us to think about and examine our lives, to dive a little deeper, so that we can do that hard work. But I think here's the challenge. We as Christians have to be open to forgive. We as Christians have to be willing to celebrate when someone comes back. We as Christians are called to reconcile with our brothers and sisters. We are called to proclaim God's grace and God's forgiveness. And oh, the nature of the oldest son who's upset is right on. It's hard for us. It's hard if we're the one who's done things right. It's hard if we're the one who's tried hard. It's hard if we haven't failed. It's hard if we haven't succumbed to all of the different transgressions, to be so open to someone who is so cast out. And yet, as someone much wiser than me said, a church is a hospital for sinners, not a luxury hotel for saints. I think that's one of the hardest things for us to remember, to recall. But man, when someone comes back, when they find that reconciliation, when they're there and they're at that moment of pleading, if we can just be there with them, their life can change. So I think our call Maybe our challenge is to work on sin, to work on reconciliation, to work on that grace, and to be willing to celebrate with the lost that are found. So I would challenge you in the coming week ahead to think more deeply on this, to think about what it means to forgive, what it means to reconcile, what it means to let go of that sin in your life, and what it might look like when we all get invited to that feast. I think that's the truth in the story today. It's just the question is, can we celebrate? Can we be reconciled? Can we find that we were lost and now we're found? Amen.